We're going to learn Daf Samach Vav in Maseches Ksubos. We're going to start from the second to last line on the bottom of Samach Hei Amud Beis. The Mishnah, towards the bottom of Samach Hei Amud Beis, discussed the various things that, in terms of the husband and wife, if the wife earns any type of money, that it goes to the husband. So, right, so if she finds something or her Maisa Yadayim is more well known, that goes to the husband. And the Boishas of Begam doesn't go to the husband. Okay, so actually that is what the Mishnah said, but it's not necessarily, you know, the only thing that's true. So the Gemara now on the bottom line, the second to bottom line, on the bottom of Samach Hei Amud Beis, says like this: Tani Tano Kamei de Rova. So they learned in front of Rova, Mitzias Ha'isha La'atzma, that she gets to keep it. Not like our Mishnah. It says that if she finds something on the street, she gets to keep it. And Rabbi Kiva actually, in this case, so far, is consistent with our Mishnah. It says it goes to the husband. Now let's focus on Rabbi Akiva Shita, because whenever there's a machlekes, you know, it's hard to remember. It gets confusing if you try to remember everything. So let's focus on Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva so far says goes to the husband like our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Omar Le. So this is what Rava said, or the Tanakhama said to him, Hashta Uma Hadofa de Maisi Yodehi. Now we're on the top of Samach Vav Amud Aleph. So the Hadofa, Hadofa means if she earns more money than she is supposed to or needs to for the sake of the marriage. So the halacha is, it says Maisi Yodehi, and the halacha is that goes to, it goes to her. Okay?
So that's right. Contradiction.
Right, but, one second, we didn't finish the sentence. That's why we didn't get to the contradiction yet. So, the Hadafa, which is part of Maisa Yadayim, so you have the basic Maisa Yadayim and then the extra Maisa Yadayim, and on that, Amar Rabbi Akiva La'atzmo, and Rabbi Akiva on that halacha specifically says that she gets to keep it. Even though that's, so to speak, the classic example of something that should go to the husband. So, mitziyasa, like kol shekein, certainly she should be able to keep the mitziyah. So, hadafa, again, is extra money that she earned from whatever, she worked for it. But the mitziyah is also extra money that she earned. So if you hold the extra money that she earned, which is like Maisa Yadayim, it goes to her. Certainly a mitziyah, which is extra also on top of that, should go to her. That should be the logic. And we just said a moment ago, this is why we focused on Rabbi Akiva Shita. Rabbi Akiva said that the mitziyahs go to the husband. So it does, there's not a logical consistency over here, whether it goes to the husband or goes to her. Ditznan. Now, how do we know that this whole kasha is based on an assumption or based on a piece of information that we know that according to Rabbi Akiva, the hadafa goes to the girl, goes to the wife. Ditznan. We learned in the Mishnah. Koinim shani oisa lepicha. We once quoted this before on Daf Nun Tes. So if a wife makes a neder and she says, I am making a koinim, which is like the equivalent of making something hektish vis-a-vis a certain person. So she says, I want to make this usher to you like hektish. Everything I do, it should be usher to hektish. So the halacha is ain't tzarech lehefer. The Tanakhama says you don't even have to bother being made for that neder. The husband doesn't even, because it's not chal, it's not enforceable, because she has obligations to the husband. So she's not able to make a neder that she's going to be off limits to the husband. However, again, focusing on Rabbi Akiva Shita here, Rabbi Akiva Omer, yefer, you should be made for that neder. Shema, tadif alav, yosir min aroyloi. Because maybe she'll end up earning more than she really needs to. So I get it. I agree that the basics, those go to the husband, and she has a chiyuv to go to the husband, so you don't even have to be made for it. But there is potential over here for her to be making extra. And that extra doesn't necessarily go to the husband. And if she makes this neder, this koinim, there's going to be some money mutter, some money also. It's going to get very complicated. So Rabbi Akiva says, just be made for the whole thing so you don't have to worry about the extras. Anyway, what do we see from this line? We see that according to this line, Rabbi Akiva clearly holds that the hadafa goes to the husband. That's why he's all concerned about whether it's mutter, goes to her. And that's why the husband has to be made for so that it doesn't become usur. Right? If it went to the husband, the neder would never have been chal in the first place. The fact that the neder is chal means it goes to her. So we see that according to Rabbi Akiva, the hadafa goes to her. So if so, the logic should be the kol shekein, the metzias also should go to her. Because of that contradiction, the Gemara says, Ela Epoch. You're right. We flipped around. We switched around the shitas. Mitzias ha'isha lebailo. The Tanakama shita is like consistent with our Mishnah that it goes to the husband. And now Rabbi Akiva oimer le'atzmo. And now Rabbi Akiva says it goes to her. And now it's not a contradiction, at least within shitas Rabbi Akiva, that whenever she finds a mitzia and also the hadafa, all of those things go to her. The only thing that goes to the husbands are the basic. The basic ma'isi adayim and maybe Yerusha, like the Mishnah said, but so on. But the basics. The basics, only the basics go to the husband. So the Gemara says, but continuing here, Vahoki also Rabin Omer Rabbi Yochanan. But when Rabin, he's quoted Rabbi Yochanan and he says like this, Bahadofa Shaloy al Yedei Adchak Kulei Amaloy Pligi Debal Havi. If she gets Hadofa, meaning if she's doing her regular job and somebody just pays her extra, so I charge you $5 and you pay me $10 and you give me a tip, so I didn't really work any harder to get that extra $5, that $5, everybody agrees is no machlek as it goes to the husband, because that's part of her job. That's part of her regular job, her regular income, and then it just happens to be a little bit more, that still goes to the husband. Ki pligi b'hadofa shal yidei adchak. We're talking about where she's going above and beyond what she needs to do, and then therefore she's making money, extra money. That's where you have a machlekes. That's where Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakhama are arguing about whether it goes to the husband or not. Tanakhama sabar labala. That's where the Tanakhama would say, still, that's just part of earnings, and earnings, all earnings go to the husband. Rabbi Akiva sabar laatzman. Rabbi Akiva says, no, that's not part of earnings. That's not her obligation. And since it's not part of her obligation, if she earns more money, she gets to keep it. That's where the machlekes is. So, now the problem is like this, and this is why we have a question. The question really that the Gemara is asking is a metzia considered hadafa shaloy al yedei adchak or al yedei adchak? So the Gemara originally answers that the Gemara assumes that shaloy al yedei adchak. That it's not al yedei adchak. That it's easy, right? You just walk around, and if so, it should be going to the husband, according to this logic. So Amar Rav Papa says, no, Mitziyosa Ka'adofa Sha'al Yedei Adchak Domi. So he says, no, it's not considered easy. This is something that takes some effort. It takes effort to find things. Because, once in a while you come across something, but if you really want to find something, you have to look for it. You have to be looking for it, you have to sift through different things, you have to be looking through the cracks and so on. So that's considered extra work that a person doesn't necessarily have to do. And that's why that's the machlekes. And therefore, plugta to Rabbi Akiva v'Rabbanon. And that's why that is the same machlekes Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanon. So it comes out that Metzia, we assumed, in the beginning of the Gemara, we assumed that this is automatic, this is easy, it comes without any effort. But the truth of the matter is that's not true. It really does take effort, and once it takes extra effort, so now we have the basic machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan, whether or not that goes to the husband or not. Now the Gemara wants to know what is considered extra effort. Boyer Rav Papa, so Rav Papa now asks, also so loy shtayim bevasachas. What if she does two jobs at the same time? Right, as Rashi says, give the example, we're going to see more jobs, but for example, let's say while she's weaving, she's also watching a field. So she's getting paid for two jobs at once. So is that considered al yedei adchak or not? Because she's only really spending one time's worth of effort, but she's doing two jobs and getting paid for two jobs. And therefore the Gemara continues, Boi Ravino, Shalishoi Arba Bavas Achas Mahu. What if she's doing four things at the same time? That at the same time, she's weaving, she's watching, she's teaching, she's doing all these things in the same one room that she has, and she's doing all three things or four things at once. Is that considered extra? Is that considered Al Yedei Adchak or not Al Yedei Adchak? And the Gemara says, Teiku. Okay, that's the way Rashi learns. Rashi learns that the Gemara's question is whether that's considered al yedei adchak or not, because she's certainly going above and beyond what she needs to. Okay, just to understand the dilemma over here, the question that the Gemara has. On the one hand, she's doing much more than she needs to. On the other hand, she's not really putting in necessarily any extra effort. This is all sort of happening at the same time. So it could be considered easy and therefore not al yedei adchak. And if that would be the case, everybody would agree that it goes to the husband. Okay, so the Gemara leaves off with the teiko. The Gemara now quotes the next part of the Mishnah is Boishta Begamo. So, if they have Boishta Begamo. Now, we're going to go with Rashi's gear. So I think I mentioned to you last time that that Rabbeinu Tam does have a different girsa in our Mishnah, and he says it's shaloi, that Boishas Begam goes, it belongs to the husband. But let's stick to, the Gemara's pshat is going to be much easier to understand if you learn like Rashi, that it's shalo. That the Boishas Begam, what she gets embarrassed, and according to the Tanakhama Shita is, it goes to her. According to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, which actually, according to Rashi, we're going to be going according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita. According to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, part of it goes to her, and part of it goes to him. There is a portion that goes to him. So the Gemara then asks, "Maskiflo Robo Bar Rav Chanon Elamayata." If so, that part of it goes to him. Bayish Susa Shel Chaveri Hachanami Deboy Lemeitin Lei Boishes Boishes. So if I embarrass the horse of my friend, I have to give a portion of that boishes over to the owner of the horse, because you know the horse doesn't deserve everything, so I should be giving it to him. So the Gemara says, one second, the sus bar boishes who? There is no boishes, there is no concept of paying boishes at all. So it's not a question of to whom I should give it, because I'm not giving it, there is no boishes. If there is boishes, then I can talk about to whom. Elo, so the Gemara says, you're right. The case that we're talking about, what he meant to ask is like this. Rokak bebigdoi shel chaveiroi. Let's say I make my friend's shirt very dirty, and over there, the halacha is, we'll see, hachanami deboy the meitin lei boishes. So maybe we should give the owner of the shirt some of the boishes, payment of boishes. And if you'll tell me that, yeah, why not? Of course, you spit on somebody's shirt, he got embarrassed, you should have to pay him boishes. But we learned the Mishnah that's not like that. It says, rakak vehigia boy haroik. If I spit on somebody and it landed, the spit landed on his body itself. It landed on his face, or landed on his hand, or something where it is embarrassing. Or upara reisha isha, where you uncovered the hair of a woman. Vahavir talisa mimenu, or you pulled somebody's clothing off them, i.e., you embarrass them. Chayev lita in loy arba meazuz. Okay, so the payment for that kind of embarrassment is 400 zuz. Now that's part of the Mishnah. However, to explain this Mishnah, we say, "V'omer Papa loy shanu elo boy." That's only talking about where the spit literally landed on the person's body, epidermis itself. Avo bebigdoy potter. But if it landed on the person's clothing and not on the body, there is no boishes. You now have to pay. You don't have to pay. So according to this logic, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that says, well, since I have to go along with it, I get some of the boishes. So same thing, fine. So I understand my shirt is not embarrassed, but I'm embarrassed. So I should get part of the boishes. You theoretically would pay the shirt. I should get part of the boishes. I should get a portion of that boishes. So instead of giving me the whole thing, give me a third, give me two thirds, give me something. Well, according to Rabbi Yehuda's logic, I should get paid something for the embarrassment of my shirt getting dirty. So the Gemara answers, no. The reason why you're putter over there is bigdai lesle zilusa. Ishtai isle zilusa. Okay? So the difference is, and the way the Mepharshim explain, is that by a beged, the beged has no boishes whatsoever. Now you're wearing the beged, that's true, that you get embarrassed. You get embarrassed secondarily. But the shirt itself is not getting embarrassed. There is no such concept of boishes, there is no payment. As actually one of the Mepharshim say, there is no payment to the shirt. So if there was a payment to the shirt, then you give some portion of it to the shirt and some portion to the person wearing the shirt. Like by the wife. By the wife, she gets embarrassed, so you're gonna give something to her, you're gonna make a payment to her. Now the question is, do you give 100%, do you give 66 or 33, whatever. But once you're making a payment, now we can discuss where the payment goes. But by the shirt, there is no payment to the shirt. So once there's no payment to the shirt, so then anachanami, there's no payment to the person who gets embarrassed as a result of the shirt. So again, this pshat that I just explained to you is a little bit different than the literal translation of the Gemara. Because the translation of the Gemara is zilusa. There is embarrassed. There's a diminution. There's something embarrassing. So but a shirt doesn't get embarrassed. Here, the way I'm explaining to you is there is no payment. Since there is no payment, so once we're not discussing payment, we can't discuss how we split up the payment. But here you see a very interesting concept. See a very interesting concept that the way the Gemara understands it is once you're making a payment, you also have to pay the husband because he's secondarily also getting embarrassed because of the situation. So therefore the Gemara continues and says, Amar le Ravina le Ravashi. So if the husband is getting because he's secondarily embarrassed, in other words, it's not pshat. The way you could have learned the Mishnah was, just again so you can appreciate the Gemara's kasha, the Gemara, you could have learned the word is like this, that really it's her embarrassment, but the husband, we should give something to the husband also. But it's her embarrassment. Now what we're saying is, she's embarrassed a little bit, and he's embarrassed a little bit, so we have to give, we're actually paying him for his embarrassment. So Elamayata, if that's the case, that you're paying anybody who got embarrassed, even secondarily, so Bayish Ani Ben Toivim, so let's say you embarrass somebody who's a really poor person who has nothing, his embarrassment is nothing. But his family, maybe they're wealthy, they're people who can appreciate and are embarrassed. So the Islay Zilusa Lukula Bene Mishpacha. So now the whole family is embarrassed because you made fun of this guy. So now I have to pay everybody in the family? Because this guy is embarrassed that his nephew is that you made fun of his nephew. I'm embarrassed. So I can go collect from the guy who embarrassed his nephew? Of course not. So we see you don't pay people secondarily. So the Gemara answers what we said before, really, this is where the explanation is. Amalei hosam lav gufayu. Hacha ishtu gufe have. Over there, the difference is that by the shirt, there is nothing, this is really where the explanation where I was saying before. So before, you're right, it was the Zilusa versus not, there is no embarrassment. Over there by the shirt, there is no payment to the shirt whatsoever. So if you're not paying the shirt, so then you're not making a payment. If you're not making a payment, you can't discuss how the payment gets divided up. But over here, Ishtoi Gufay have it. But the wife, again, this is not the simple reading of the Gemara, this is just an explanation. But the wife, there is a payment to the wife. Once there's a payment to the wife, so now in Echanami you could discuss getting paid secondarily. Whereas if you're the B'nai Mishpacha, there is no payment to anybody else. Okay, so again, the more Pashup Shad, the way to read it is, Ishtoi Gufayu is the famous line of Ishtoi Kagufay. Ishtoi Kagufay means that, just embarrassing my wife is the same thing as embarrassing me. So, because the husband and wife are one team, they're one and the same. So, therefore, but that it's anachanami. Whereas the shirt or even the bnei mishpacha, I have nothing to do with my nephew. So, embarrassing my nephew, yeah, okay, fine. It's embarrassing that I have a nephew who knows what. But it's not something that really pertains to me, and therefore there is no payment to me. Okay, that takes us to the Mishnah. Zok the next Mishnah, a new concept. Hapoisik mois lichasonoi. Somebody who promises money to the son-in-law. Umeis chasna. In this case, the son-in-law died. Now we're going to assume over here that he died before they got married, because once they got married, the money already belongs to the chasna. So now the question is, how do you pay him? Amru chachamim. And over here, they were just engaged, and obviously he didn't have any children. What? Erison, right. They're engaged. Right? They're engaged. And now, even during engagement, there is a concept of Yibum, because he died without any children. And therefore, she's now going to marry the brother. She's going to have to marry the brother. And the father-in-law is not interested in the brother. So, Amru Chachamim, Yachol Hu Sheyoymar, the father is able to say, La'achicha Yisi Roitzelite. To your brother, meaning the deceased brother, I was willing to give this money. But to you, the Yavam, I have no interest in making that payment. Okay? And I'd rather my daughter, so it's interesting, because the purpose, Rashi adds a very interesting concept. The father's able to say, I would rather my daughter not get married than get married to you. That's what Rashi adds on over here. Because you're saying, listen, the reason why I'm giving this dowry is because I want my daughter to get married. So I have this $1 million dowry I want to pay. So here's your choice. Your choice is, you can marry, for $1 million you can marry this Yavam or nobody. So you say, I'd rather give it to nobody. And the husband, and the father's able to make that statement and say, I never, even, right? Even if the second brother, so to speak, is a better guy in society, you still have a right to say, right. Okay, now, another concept. Paskol ha'achnes loy elef dinner. So the father-in-law promised to bring the dowry of 1,000 dinar. Who poiseh kenegdo chamesha asrei mona? So 1,000 dinar is really the same thing as 10 mona. It's 10 times 10. So what he has to do is he has to add on another third. In the ksuba, he writes, "I received 15." Right, 1,500. You promised 1,000. I write, I received 1,500. Because everybody knows that it's an exaggeration. Okay, as we'll see. The point is that when I say 15, everybody knows that means 10. Everybody knows it's a third less. Ukeneged hashum. Now that's talking about where he was promising money, cash. Keneged hashum. Now what if it wasn't giving you cash, it was giving you objects. And the objects have value. So then who pays it pleiches chaimish? Then I write down in the ksuba less than a fifth less of than what I was given. So in other words, if you come to me and you say, this is, as Rashi gives this example, this is $1,000 worth of clothing, or $1,000, let's say the car is worth $1,000, I write in the ksuba my obligation, meaning if they ever get divorced and he has to pay out, so he writes, I only received 800. Again, for the other way, because everybody knows that once you start evaluating things, you're always going to exaggerate what the value is so that it looks good. And the Mishnah gives a couple of examples to this point. Shum b'mana, v'shav b'mana. But let's say it turns out that this is, they say, oh, this is worth $1,000. And then it really is. They go out to the market and they find out that the object that he was donating was, in fact, in reality, worth $1,000. Ein loy ela mana. Then you taka write in the ksuba that it is really worth $1,000. Because we know, if everybody knows, it's like a given. What this item costs, then that becomes the same price. Shum b'mana. Let's say they evaluated it at 1,000. Hinoi senes shloishim ve'echad sela. If they wrote in the ksuba that they're supposed to get 100, so then she has to give him 31 sela, a dinner and one dinner, because again, this is really the same cheshbon that she's adding on a third. She has to give a third more. Uba arba mayos, and if they said $400, hina senes chamesh mayos, that means that she's really giving 500, because if they're doing a value, if it's worth 400, that means that she has to really pay 500, because again, remember, you always reduce it by a fifth. So if I write in the ksuba, it's worth 400, that means she's really giving 500, you have to give $500 worth to get a $400 evaluation in the ksuba. Ma shechosin, now on the top of Samach Vav Amud Beis. Ma shechosin poisek, hu poisek, poches mechaimish. Again, the Mishnah is sort of repeating itself, and the Mishnah says, and the way Rashi learns is that what the chosin brings to the table, till now we've been discussing what she puts, her dowry, what she's promising to bring into the marriage. Now on the top of Samach Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara says what he brings into the marriage also he reduces by one fifth, because it's the same concept. Because whenever somebody promises to bring in a value, we have to assume that they're valuing it a fifth more than what it really is, because they're just trying to make it look good. They don't want to, you know, nobody wants to donate a dollar, but if I say $1.25, like, oh, okay, fine, now I'm giving something. So therefore, we realize that values are never really true, again, unless, other than that one case in the Mishnah where the Mishnah said, where everybody knows what the value of this particular item is, so then we know the real value and we write down that real value. Okay, so based on that, the Gemara now says, Tana Rabbanan, Ein Tzarech Loimer Rishon Talmud Chochem L'Sheni Am Ha'aretz. So in the case, going back to that first case, where the father promised money to Reuven dies, and now she's doing Yibum to Shimon, and the father-in-law says, I don't want to give money to the Shimon. So we don't even have to discuss where the first one was a Talmud Chochem, where of course he wanted to give the money. L'Sheni Am Ha'aretz, and the second brother is an Am Ha'aretz, so the father can certainly say, I never intended to give my money to an Am Ha'aretz. El Afilu Rishon. Ama Aretz, even if the first brother was an Ama Aretz, v'sheni Tama Chacham, and the second one is a Tama Chacham, so you'd say for sure the father should definitely be want to give his money there. Yochel Loimer La'achiche Ha'isi Reitz Alitain L'cha Yefshel Litain. Still, the father-in-law is able to say, no, to your brother, I was willing to give the money for whatever reason. I thought that this was appropriate and this was the right thing. You, even though you're a Tama Chacham, I have no reason or obligation to give you the money. And that's okay. It's, as we said before, it's specifically to that guy he made the promise to and to nobody else. So then, as we said, when we were reading the Mishnah, Paskal Achnas Lay Elef Dinner, so the Mishnah then goes ahead and gives another example of money. First, the Mishnah gives an example of 1,000, and then the Mishnah gives an example of 100. So, the Gemara says, Hainu Reisha. So why, that's the same thing as the ratio that we say, that we add on an extra third. So the Gemara answers, Tana Shuma Rabba, V'Ktana Shuma Zutra. We say, we talk about a valuation that is worth a lot, and we say a valuation that's worth a little. Tana Shuma Didei, V'Ktana Shuma Dido. And then we also switch around to the Mishnah when she brings money into the marriage versus he bringing money into the marriage. So that's why the Mishnah looks somewhat repetitive, but each case in the Mishnah is serving its own purpose. It's the same rule. And the point is that we don't want anybody to think that the rule changes if the scenario is different. We say it doesn't matter whether it's a large donation. So you think it's a large donation. Why do I need to exaggerate a large donation? It's large enough. Or you might think to yourself, when it's a small donation, increasing it by a little bit is not really going to make a difference anyway. So why bother increasing it? So that's why the Mishnah has to say, no, it's the same rule. The rule is consistent throughout, whether it's a lot or little, whether you consider it a lot or he considers it a little, doesn't make a difference. It's always the same rule that when it's coming to money, when you're dealing with money itself, you add on a third. When you're dealing with value, when you're bringing something and you're putting in a value for something else, you reduce it by a fifth. And again, doesn't matter whether she's bringing it into the marriage or he's bringing it into the marriage. It's always going to be the same rule. Okay. Next Mishnah. The next Mishnah says, Posko la'achnes like sofim, sela nasa shisha dinarim. So this is again consistent with the Mishnah before. If he says, I'm going to bring you a sela, which is for dinner, then nasa shisha dinarim, then they have to bring in six, which is a third more. Chosin achosin mekabalolov asara dinarim lekupa. If the chosin accepts upon himself that he is going to have, this is extra money that he's going to give her for her needs, and he's going to give her 10 dinar, l'chol mana umana, ten dinar, l'chol mana umana. Okay, meaning you, for every dinner, you give, let's say 10%, 10% goes for her extra needs. That he has to, that means when he's promising the money, that money is going to go towards not just extra money in the house, but money for her to, you know, let's call them bath type of goods, perfume and those type of things. It depends on the Medina, meaning there is no set amount. It depends on what people do. As we'll see in the Gemara, it really depends on some people use more on these bath goods and some people do less. So the Gemara then says, the first line of the Mishnah really is a continuation of the Mishnah before, so the Gemara already asks, Hainu poista kenegdin chamisha asri mana. The first line of the Mishnah says that if he says, I want to bring a sela, I have to bring in six dinar, which is a third more, that's the same thing as the first line of the other Mishnah, which said that you have to, 10 is really 15. They're both adding on a third. So the Gemara says, again, like what we said before, Tana iska rabba, but Tana iska zuta. The Tana before was talking about a large amount of money, and the Tana over here is talking about a small amount of money that you have to add in a little bit extra. Vitricha, and we need to say that we exaggerate in both cases. The e Tana iska rabba, the nafish ravcha. If we only discuss the case where it's a large amount of money, we're bringing in a lot of money. Right, if somebody gives you $1 million to work with, you could do a lot more with it than if somebody gives you $10 to work with. Right? What are you going to do with $10? So you might think, Aval iska zutra, de zutra ravcha, I understand if they give me $1 million, I have to give them, the return on that money is much more. Whereas if they give me zutra, Abba iska zutra de zutra ravcha, but where there's a small amount of money, you're not really making a lot of money. Aim a lawyer, so maybe over there I don't need to exaggerate, I don't need to add on. Tzricha to tell us that even for a small amount of money, I do have to give the same amount of exaggeration or value. The yashmin iska zutra. And if you told me only the case where I gave you a small amount of money, the zutu zayuni, where it looks like a small sum, so we want to fluff it up a little bit. Aval iska rabat enough is zayuni, but where I'm giving a large donation in and of itself, it already looks powerful. Aim aloy, so maybe there's no point in exaggerating. Tricha to tell us that you have to exaggerate in that also is not a real number. Even when I give you a big number, again, because we're writing it down in the tshuva for purposes of knowing what the payout will be later, so we have to exaggerate there also, otherwise people are going to miscalculate how much the obligation really is. That is what Rashi says. Rashi says that when you're dealing with a lot of money, you have higher payroll. So you have more expenses, so therefore, right, exactly, you need money to make money. So therefore, you might think that by the larger amount, you're right, you don't have to exaggerate because it's going to cost me more to make that kind of money. But that's why we say no, you do have to add the extra third, even for a large amount, because the Maisa it's all the same. It's the same rule. Okay, next case of the Mishnah was Hachosin Mekabel Alav Asara Dinar Lekupa. The Hachosin has to be Mekabel for every dinner that is contributed. He has to, for every $100, for every mana that's brought into the marriage, he has to use 10 dinar to use for her purposes. My kupa, what's her purpose? My kupa, what is the kupa that she gets to use it for? Amar Rav Ashi, kupa shel besamim. It's the besamim that they used to use. I guess in our language we would call it deodorant. In those days they used to use besamim, so they smelled, they didn't smell bad. So first of all, you have to realize that this Mishnah is only really relevant in Yerushalayim, where they had a minig in Yerushalayim to make themselves smell good. In other places, you know, you go to Alaska, the Eskimos, they don't worry about this type of thing. They don't worry about what they smell like, so therefore, you don't have to contribute to the besamim outside of Yerushalayim. Now, Bayer Rav Ashi, b'mana hanishum, or b'mana hamiskabel. So after we just finished in the Mishnah before, saying that the numbers that we're writing in the Ksuba are not real numbers, that we exaggerate, we add an extra third to whatever number really it is. So when I say that I'm giving $100, that's an exaggerated number, I'm really only giving $77 or $66. So now I have this obligation, because it says $100, to donate towards her besamim fund. So which one is it? Is it the actual amount that she gets now, and therefore that's how you figure out how much money you have to give? Or is it the what's written, the exaggerated number? Imtim Salimer Mona Amiskabel. So now, even if you want to say it's the actual number, so forget about the exaggeration. Yom Rishon, I call Yom V'yom. Do I have to give this amount? All it says is a number. I have to give 10%. I have to give one dinner. Now, when do I give this? Every day I have to give another dinner? In Timsalar Mekol Yoim V'yoim. So if you want to say, okay, yes, I have to give every day, that's the understanding, that every day I'm going to give her a dinner for supplies. So, Shabbos Rishon, I call Shabbos Rishabbos. Is this going to apply for the first week of their marriage? Good, I'll give every day for the first week. Or is this every Shabbos going forward? In Timsalar Mekol, call Shabbos Rishabbos. Or, maybe, right? In other words, we don't know the frequency of how often. So, do I give it, if it's every Shabbos, I have to give this donation. Chodesh Rishon, I call Chodesh for Chodesh. Is it every month now going forward, it's going to continue to apply? Or Im Tim Salam, I call Chodesh for Chodesh. And even if you want to say that it applies every month, Shana Rishon, I call Shana Vashana. Or is this every year? Take it. Because you have, right, the Gemara, the Rashi has a little bit of a difficulty figuring out what exactly is bothering the Gemara over here. But the point is like this. All these donations that you're giving, this $100 that you're giving, and therefore you have to contribute to her besamim fund, you only give that donation once in the beginning of the marriage. So now, does that mean essentially that once I make that donation at the beginning of the marriage, I am now obligated to continue to make those donations. I call it donations, but contribute to her besamim fund forever for the rest of the marriage? Or is it, I'm getting the money now, so right now I have an obligation to give the money up front, maybe the first week, maybe the first Shabbos, the first month, maybe the first year, but you know, they're married for 30 years, and 30 years later she's still going to be cashing in on getting this, on getting this extra money for her besamim. That's the Gemara's kash, and the Gemara ends off with a teku, at least the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Okay. Yeah, I couldn't control myself. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav. Maisa bebitoy shal Nachdimon ben Gurion. Okay, so the daughter of Nachdimon ben Gurion was one of the wealthiest people in Yerushalayim. Shapaskul lo chacham arba mea sehuven lekupa shal besamim leboy bayoin. Right? So they said $400, 400 zuz, which is a huge amount of money just for her besamim and body care and whatever it was on that day. Amar Lahem. So Amar Lahem, so she said, the daughter said to the Chachamim, Kach tifsuku livnoi seichem, you should be zoicha to give all of this to your daughters as well. V'anu achareha, amen, and they said, amen, yes, we should be zoicha to have this extra, you know, this amount of money for everybody, that everybody in Klal Yisrael should be zoicha. However, Tana Rabbana, we learned like this. Maisa b'Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, shahaya roichev ala chamor. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was riding a donkey, v'haya yoitzim Yerushalayim. He left Yerushalayim, v'haya talmidim ahalchan acharav, and they were walking behind him. Ro riva achas, they saw this particular girl, shahoysim ala ketes sa'irin, mi ben gloli behemothon shel arviyim. They saw this girl that she was pulling out kernels of barley out of the feces of the animals. So in other words, she was so desperate for food, she was literally going through and pulling out, plucking out kernels of food that weren't digested so that she'd be able to eat it. Now this girl saw Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai coming by. Nisatfa b'sayra, she covered her hair. V'amda lefonov, or nisatfa b'sayra, actually the way a lot of mafarshim explain is that she took her hair and she covered her face. V'amda lefonov, and she stood in front of him. Amr loy Rebbe Parnaseni. She said, Rebbe, please give me some Parnasa. Amr loy Biti Miat. So yes, sir, who are you? Amr loy Bas Nachdimon ben Gurion Ani. This is, by the way, right before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So she said, I'm the daughter of Nachdimon ben Gurion. Amr loy Biti Mamet Shal Beis Avicha Hechan Halach. Where's all you? You were the wealthiest girl in the world. Where's all your money? Amr loy Rebbe loy Kedin Mithlin Tala B'Yerushalayim. Didn't they tell you this rule in Yerushalayim? Melech mamoin chaser. The salt disappears. Meaning, the money disappeared, the money is all gone, I don't have anything left. V'amrila chesed shall base chamicha hechon. He asked her not where's the money, but he asked where's the chesed. If you had done chesed, you wouldn't be missing all the money. Hechonu, where is it? Amriloi, bozeh b'ibadazeh. That one came and took the other. So either this means that he joined up chesed, actually, the way Rashi learns is, chesed, Rashi says, okay, so, he did tzedakah. She said, bozeh v'ibrezeh. He didn't do enough chesed, he didn't do enough tzedakah, so therefore, he has no money left. Amra loy, Rebbe, zechor ata, kishechasamta al ksubasi. So she said, do you remember when you signed on my ksuba what it was? Amar lahen l'talmidav. So he turns to his talmidim and he says, zochar ani shechasamti al ksubasa shalzu. I remember when I signed her ksuba. Vayise kairaba elef alpayim dinar zav mi beis aviha. And I said I was giving a thousand thousands of gold from her father. Chutz mishal chamiya. And in that's without her father-in-law. In other words, there was so much money there. This is what they were bringing in, millions of dollars worth into the marriage. And I'm not even cheshbening in what the father-in-law brought into the marriage. Bachar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he started to cry. Ba'amar Ashrechem Yisrael. So praise this Klal Yisrael. B'zman sha'oisim ritzoin isham mokoim. When they do the right thing, en kol umu v'loshen shayletes behen, then nobody's able to touch them. Then Klal Yisrael is on top of the world. B'zman she'ein oisim ritzoin isham mokoim. But when they're not doing what Hashem wants, Moisrin biyad umash felo, they end up falling into the hands of the of a lowly nation, v'loibiyad umashvela, and not only in a lowly nation, elbiyad behemosan shal umashvela, and they're now in the they're looking after the lowest, the animals, right? Because remember, the story was that she was going through the feces of the animal of the Arabs, of the Arabim, that were the nomads. So he's saying, not only do we fall to lowly people, we fall to below the animals. So the Gemara asks the famous question: "But Nachman ben Gurion loyav at tzedaka? You're telling me that Nachman didn't do tzedaka of a hatanya? We learned in the Brayso Amru alav al Nachman ben Gurion. They say about him, k'shahaya yoytze mibeisa the beis hamedrash, when he would go out to learn, kli milas hayu mitzia. Now on the top of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, they would put out these silk mats underneath tachtav under his feet, so that he would walk. He would be walking on these silk mats. Ubon aniyim makaplan oyson, and they meacharov." And the aniyim would come, and they would take the mats out after he walked on them. He wouldn't even collect the mats afterwards. He would let the poor people come and take them, and so he was supporting the poor people. So he was giving tons of tzedakah. So the Gemara answers, so one answer is very scary thought, is that he was doing this for his own honor. Meaning, yes, he was giving tzedakah, but he wasn't really giving the tzedakah for the sake of the aniyim. He was giving the tzedakah for his own, he was really just using the silk for his own sake, and so he let them take it. The way he's supposed to, he didn't, meaning he gives, yes, he gave tons and tons of tzedakah, but based on his status and where he was in Klal Yisrael, he did not do enough. Kedamar Inchi, Lefum Gamlo Shechno. We'll stop over here. Which means that according to the strength of the camel, that's how much you should load them up. So everything is relative. You can't just say everybody has to give $10. For some people, $10 is a lot of money. For some people, $10 is a joke. So you have to understand. So basically, the Gemara is saying, yes, of course, he gave tons and tons of tzedakah without a question. He supported every yeshiva in the world. But for him, for where he was holding, that was not considered enough. And therefore, unfortunately, he ended up losing it all. Okay, so obviously there's a big Musar Shmuz in Tzedakah over here. We'll stop over here, we'll pick up over here, Mirz Hashem, next time.